Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise, And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there's no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God had told him, "Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted." Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future for his sons, Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and that they, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel were right, it was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days, and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab, the prostitute, was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. All of Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you, Lord, for the power, the grace, the wisdom, the anointing, the mercy that rests and permeates your word. Thank you for the grace and power that flows into our hearts and our minds as we read and meditate on your word daily. Thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for us as the church and as a nation. Help us, Lord, as a church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for the gift of faith. Thank you so much for your word. And thank you so much for all the ways that you have been faithful and steadfast to us in the past. Father, I ask that you bring to our memory all the ways that you've provided. And Father, I ask that you'd help us to walk in faith, believing in your promises for the present and for the future. We look forward to your son's return. And Father, we ask that you'd help us to grow more holy and to walk more like you. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to remind you once again, for all of our listening family, we're inviting you to please pray much and ask the Lord to mightily anoint the performance for our Christian stage play. The title of the play is Rev Riding in the Hood. And this is an area of ministry that we've been involved with for a number of years. And it's a stage play that covers the Ten Commandments. It's a evangelism and discipleship event. And the performance is Wednesday the 20th. And so if you're in the South Haven, Mississippi community, can come out. It is to take place at Brown Baptist Church, the South Campus at 7200 Swinney Road, South Haven, Mississippi. And so we invite you to come out if you can, if you're in the area. If not, please pray for the Lord to mightily anoint it. This is a fundraising event to help with the wonderful ministry of the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center ministry, which is in South Haven, Mississippi. And for the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center, again, that is found in the Mississippi Delta. Again, excuse me, let me get the names correct. The CARE Pregnancy Center of South Haven is in South Haven, Mississippi. And the pregnancy clinic that my wife and I are on the board with is the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center, which is based in Greenwood, Mississippi, and serves in the Mississippi Delta. Please pray much for the Lord to mightily anoint the performance, for it to be a tremendous ministry event, and pray that God will greatly bless it spiritually and financially as a fundraising event. We hope that you will do that. I want to take time briefly to share an article that's entitled Discipleship Equips Us for Life's Battlefield. Again, that title, Discipleship Equips Us for Life's Battlefield. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness, the mystery, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak it boldly as I ought to speak. That was Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. Then Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. There in that passage, the Lord gave us the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Every believer is called to be involved in the glorious, joy-filled, and grace-filled life of being a disciple and making disciples. I am called to start with myself, strive to ensure that I've committed my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and be a faithful follower of him. When considering the reality of spiritual warfare in our world, a truth that we are wise to understand as believers is this: carrying out the work of discipleship, that is, the work of being a disciple and making disciples, is directly connected to living a life of victory amid spiritual warfare. In other words, when a believer is faithfully being a disciple and making disciples, when a person is faithfully being a disciple and making disciples, that man or woman is battling the kingdom of darkness and being victorious. As we who follow Christ read the Word of God and obey it, and as we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and obey him, we battle the darkness and are building the kingdom of God. And we can pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We were sharing from an article entitled Discipleship Equips Us for Life's Battlefield. We'll be right back.
Into the deepness, oh, when I've exhausted all my ways. this heart of mine, it's you. It's you, Lord, it's you. Then everything else just falls in line.
The music of Toby Mac with It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We were sharing an article by the title, Discipleship Equips Us for Life's Battlefield, picking up. When considering the reality of spiritual warfare in our world, a truth that we are wise to understand as believers is this: carrying out the work of discipleship, that is, the work of being a disciple and making disciples, is directly connected to living a life. It's directly connected to living a life of victory and spiritual victory amid spiritual warfare. In other words, when a believer is faithfully being a disciple and making disciples, that man or woman is battling the kingdom of darkness and being victorious. As we who follow Christ read the Word of God and obey it, and as we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and obey Him, we battle the darkness and are building the kingdom of God. So it can be said that simple obedience to God and His Word is an extremely effective battle strategy for victory in all of life and every area of life. The Word of God is the eternal wisdom of God, and as we who are disciples of Christ listen to His wisdom and obey it, we are following the counsel of our Almighty Heavenly Father, who knows everything. God's battle strategies work. So we are wise to major in listening to Him and His Word and obeying Him. Be aware of this truth. Obedience to God and His Word puts you on spiritual offense and keeps you there. It's true that the best defense is an offense. So may we, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, be wise and strategic enough to simply do what we're told. That is, go and make disciples of all nations. And as we listen to God's counsel and wisdom and follow it, as we carry out the Great Commission, more and more we will see victory on the battlefields of life. Again, the title of that article, Discipleship Equips Us for Life's Battlefield. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us. My email, joseph@afr.net. Again, to get that article, simply email me, joseph@afr.net. Let me continue to remind our listeners that National Collection Week for Operation Christmas Child did begin on November 18th and goes through the 25th. So that's this week. And during National Collection Week, Samaritan's Purse will collect the gift-filled shoeboxes at more than 4,700 drop-off locations in all 50 states and Puerto Rico as well. Well, for those that may not have heard us share about it already or learned about the wonderful ministry of Operation Christmas Child, which is carried out by the ministry Samaritan's Purse, let me share just a little more information with you about it. The Samaritan's Purse project, called Operation Christmas Child, collects shoebox gifts filled with fun toys, school supplies, and personal care items, and delivers them to children in need around the world to demonstrate God's love in a tangible way. And for many of these children, the gift-filled shoebox may be one of the first gifts they have ever received. Since 1993, Operation Christmas Child, the world's largest Christmas project of its kind, has collected and delivered more than 220 million shoebox gifts to children in more than 170 countries and territories in the world. In 2024, Operation Christmas Child hopes to collect enough shoebox gifts to reach another 12 million children. We are encouraging you to get involved in this wonderful outreach. For more information, to learn more about how you can do that, go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Again, that's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. We pick up now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in 2 Chronicles chapter 23, beginning at verse 1. In the seventh year of Athaliah's reign, Jehoiada the priest decided to act. He summoned his courage and made a pact with five army commanders: Azariah, son of Jeroham; Ishmael, son of Jehohanan; Azariah, son of Obed, Maaseiah, son of Adiah, and Elishaphat, son of Zichri. These men traveled secretly throughout Judah and summoned the Levites and clan leaders in all the towns to come to Jerusalem. They all gathered at the temple of God, where they made a solemn pact with Joash, the young king. Jehoiada said to them, "Here is the king's son. The time has come for him to reign. The Lord has promised that a descendant of David will be our king. This is what you must do. When you priests and Levites come on duty on the Sabbath, a third of you will serve as gatekeepers. Another third will go over to the royal palace, and the final third will be at the fountain, will be at the foundation gate. Everyone else should stay in the courtyards of the Lord's temple. Remember, only the priests and Levites on duty may enter the temple of the Lord, for they are set apart as holy. The rest of the people must obey the Lord's instructions and stay outside. You Levites, form a bodyguard around the king and keep your weapons in hand. Kill anyone who tries to enter the temple. Stay with the king wherever he goes." So the Levites and all the people of Judah did everything as Jehoiada the priest ordered. The commanders took charge of the men reporting for duty that Sabbath, as well as those who were going off duty. Jehoiada the priest did not let anyone go home after their shift ended. Then Jehoiada supplied the commanders with the spears and the large and small shields that had once belonged to King David and were stored in the temple of God. He stationed all the people around the king with their weapons ready. They formed a line from the south side of the temple around to the north side and all around the altar. Then Jehoiada and his sons brought out Joash, the king's son, placed the crown on his head, and presented him with a copy of God's laws. They anointed him and proclaimed him king, and everyone shouted, "Long live the king!" When Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and the shouts of praise to the king, she hurried to the Lord's temple to see what was happening. When she arrived, she saw the newly crowned king standing in his place of authority by the pillar at the temple entrance. The commanders and trumpeters were surrounding him, and people from all over the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets, singers with musical instruments were leading the people in a great celebration. When Athaliah saw all this, she tore her clothes in despair and shouted, "Treason! Treason!" Then Jehoiada the priest ordered the commanders who were in charge of the troops, "Take her to the soldiers in front of the temple and kill anyone who tries to rescue her." For the priest had said, "She must not be killed in the temple of the Lord." So they seized her and led her out to the entrance of the horse gate on the palace grounds, and they killed her there. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself and the king and the people that they would be the Lord's people. And all the people went over to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They demolished the altars and smashed the idols, and they killed Matan, the priest of Baal, in front of the altars. Jehoiada now put the priests and Levites in charge of the temple of the Lord, following all the directions given by David. He also commanded them to present burnt offerings to the Lord, as prescribed by the law of Moses, and to sing and rejoice as David had instructed. He also stationed gatekeepers at the gates of the Lord's temple to keep out those who, for any reason, were ceremonial unclean. Then the commanders, nobles, rulers, and all the people of the land escorted the king from the temple of the Lord. They went through the upper gate and into the palace, and they seated the kingdom, and they seated the king on the royal throne. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was peaceful because Athaliah had been killed. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 40 years. His mother was Zibiah from Beersheba. Joash did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight throughout the lifetime of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada chose 2 wives for Joash, and he had sons and daughters. At one point, Joash decided to repair and restore the temple of the Lord. He summoned the priests and Levites and gave them these instructions. Go to all the towns of Judah and collect the required annual offerings so that we can repair the temple of your God. Do not delay. But the Levites did not act immediately. So the king called for Jehoiada the high priest and asked him, why haven't you demanded that the Levites go out and collect the temple taxes from the towns of Judah and from Jerusalem? Moses, the servant of the Lord, levied this tax on the community of Israel in order to maintain the tabernacle of the covenant. Over the years, the followers of wicked Athaliah had broken into the temple of God, and they had used all the dedicated things from the temple of the Lord to worship the images of Baal. So now the king ordered a chest to be made and set outside the gate leading to the temple of the Lord. Then a proclamation was sent throughout Judah and Jerusalem, telling the people to bring to the Lord the tax that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had required of the Israelites in the wilderness. This pleased all the leaders and the people, and they gladly brought their money and filled the chest with it. Whenever the chest became full, the Levites would carry it to the king's officials. Then the court secretary and an officer of the high priest would come and empty the chest and take it back to the temple again. This went on day after day, and a large amount of money was collected. The king and Jehoiada gave the money to the construction supervisors who hired masons and carpenters to restore the temple of the Lord. They also hired metal workers who made articles of iron and bronze for the Lord's temple. The men in charge of the renovation worked hard and made steady progress. They restored the temple of God according to its original design and strengthened it. When all the repairs were finished, they brought the remaining money to the king and Jehoiada. It was used to make various articles for the temple of the Lord, articles for worship services, and for burnt offerings, including ladles and other articles made of gold and silver. And the burnt offerings were sacrificed continually in the temple of the Lord during the lifetime of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada lived to a very old age, finally dying at 130. He was buried among the kings in the city of David because he had done so much good in Israel for God and his temple. But after Jehoiada's death, the leaders of Judah came and bowed before King Joash and persuaded him to listen to their advice. They decided to abandon the temple of the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and they worshiped Asherah poles and idols instead. Because of this sin, divine anger fell on Judah and Jerusalem. Yet the Lord sent prophets to bring them back to him. The prophets warned them, but still the people would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, son of Jehoiada the priest. He stood before the people and said, "This is what God says. Why do you disobey the Lord's commands and keep yourselves from prospering? You have abandoned the Lord, and now he has abandoned you." Then the leaders plotted to kill Zechariah and the king and King Then the leaders plotted to kill Zechariah, and King Joash ordered that they stone him to death in the courtyard of the Lord's temple. Verses 1 through 21, 2 Chronicles chapter 24. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself.
The music of Mercy Me with I Can Only Imagine. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the New Testament. Revelation chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. After this, I heard what sounded like a vast crowd in heaven shouting, "Praise the Lord! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. His judgments are true and just. He has punished the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality. He has avenged the murder of his servants." And again, their voices rang out. "Praise the Lord! The smoke from that city ascends forever and ever." Then the 24 elders and the four living beings fell down and worshiped God, who was sitting on the throne. They cried out, "Amen! Praise the Lord!" And from the throne came a voice that said, "Praise our God, all his servants, all who fear him, from the least to the greatest." Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd, or the roar of mighty ocean waves, or the crash of loud thunder. "Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. For the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people." And the angel said to me, "Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb." And he added, "These are true words that come from God." Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters, who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a winepress. On his robe, at his thigh, was written this title: King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshiped his statue. Both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse. And the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies. Revelation chapter 20. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven with the key to the bottomless pit and a heavy chain in his hand. He seized the dragon, that old serpent who is the devil, Satan, and bound him in chains for 1,000 years. The angel threw him into the bottomless pit, which he then shut and locked so Satan could not deceive the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were finished. Afterward, he must be released for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and the people sitting on them had been given the authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus and for proclaiming the Word of God. They had not worshiped the beast or his statue, nor accepted his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They all came to life again, and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. The rest of the dead did not come back to life until the 1,000 years had ended. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. For them, the second death holds no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years. When the thousand years come to an end, Satan will be let out of his prison. He will go out to deceive the nations, called Gog and Magog, in every corner of the earth. He will gather them together for battle, a mighty army as numberless as sand along the seashore. And I saw them as they went up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded God's people and the beloved city. But fire from heaven came down on the attacking armies and consumed them. Then the devil, who had deceived them, was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. There they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshipers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." Verses 1 through 8, Revelation chapter 21. Thank you once again, Father, for the wisdom, the grace, and the power, and the insight and understanding found in the powerful and wonderful book of Revelation. Thank you, Father, for the many prophecies and insights that are shared mightily and beautifully through this powerful account found in this book. Help us to be wise enough to read and think much on the insights and all the wisdom and counsel you share through this book, and more empower us all to be faithful hearers and doers of your word on a daily basis. If there are any listeners who don't already have the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every day, Lord, move upon their hearts, help them to start that very important habit today. And for every parent listening, Lord, move upon them and encourage them too to start the habit of having each of their children to read the Word of God out loud to them as well. Thank you for that opportunity. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession, as we usually do before we end the broadcast. If you are listening today and you know you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never committed your life to Christ, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me now and make that eternally important decision of committing your life to Christ? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to faithfully read your word every day. Read the Bible daily. Help me to faithfully pray and talk to you daily. Help me to faithfully obey and live what I learn from your word daily. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you committed your life to Christ and you prayed and invited Christ to come in to be your Lord and Savior, please get in touch with us. We do wish to share with you some literature that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Simply email us. We'll be glad to get that information to you. And again, for any and all the articles that we share on a pretty regular basis, we're glad to share them as well. Please email us and let us know if you'd like to get any. Simply give us the title, and we'll be glad to share those with you as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.